I did want to say that I look at the alteration is not required section, and I don't find the problem. Maybe I can reassure you, or maybe it does need changing. I don't find the problem that you cite. As I read it, it only says this chapter may not be construed to require or affect other or affect other laws that require or provide for. It recognizes, in other words, that there are other legal provisions, and that this does not affect that. Those stay in the status quo. It doesn't diminish them, and it doesn't enlarge them. And so I don't read the section as a diminution of anything else that requires SFA state buildings to have access to people with disabilities or handicaps.
And that certainly may be the way that it's intended. And if it is, great, but again, it ought to be very clear that there are certain places that do need to alter. A federal installation in the state, or the state itself, if it had to turn down somebody's wheelchair for employment by saying, I'm sorry, our facility is inaccessible to you, that's a violation of law in and of itself. So it's got to be prepared to fix its facility. It's discrimination to say we can't hire you because you can't get in. So that's all I was concerned about.
Mr. Chairman, I realize that you probably, as you said, didn't have time to really go into the nooks and crannies of this bill, but I know that in on page 10 in subsection 3, section 15, I think, because of the discussions we had last year, there is a reference to in the section about financial institutions refusing to extend credit, issue credit cards, or make loans to a person with a physical or mental disability who is otherwise creditworthy. That phrase, who is otherwise creditworthy, was inserted to avoid the situation where a person who is not creditworthy uses this chapter as a tool to compel a loan that the person by standard criteria would not be entitled to receive. But there, I think, Mr. Chairman, there's some conflict above, because in subsection 1 on the same page, we prevent discrimination because of physical or mental disability relating to the obtainment or use of the institution's financial assistance or credit. And we don't use that language about being otherwise creditworthy. I wonder, maybe the drafter can tell me why we use it in one place and not in another. Jim, you referred to that issue, and you might have some suggestion for us as how to deal with that. You made one suggestion, I acknowledge.
Sure, and that handled it, as we talked last year, that as long as we understand that any lending institution has the right to deny anybody based on a poor payment record or that kind of thing. If somebody tries to say, because you are a woman, because you are blind, because you are deaf, because you're in a wheelchair, because you're a state senator, nothing, in other words, that is relevant to anything, try to deny us for that reason is what needs to be illegal. But if I have a lousy credit record and I've gone bankrupt several times, I'd assume a bank would want to deny me a loan. And the fact that I'm blind and we amend the civil rights law isn't going to make me any better off than I was before. So that maybe is sufficient language right there. There are a couple of other fix-ups up in the beginning of it. For example, the word age is left out. So there are some little touch-ups that also need to be put into some places.
Are there any other questions?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes. Senator Jones.
Jim, in the first part, it talks about jury duty. And I'm sure everybody welcomes more people being available to jury. And I see, maybe it's not a problem. I don't know. I'm not blind. I'm not deaf. So I don't know how you perceive serving on a jury and having, say, the case requires something where it requires a sight. Now, do you see a problem with that, or maybe I'm way off base here in Miami?
No, you could use an education like we all could use an education, including me. I don't want to be smart, I like you with you, but what we're concerned about is the total flat exclusion of the blind as a class or the deaf as a class. There may be some situation where sight reading would be required. I can't think of one, but there could be some situation. For example, and Senator Josephson could help me out on this. No lawyer is going to walk up in front of a jury and say, here, jury members, look at this and stand there. The lawyer will explain until you are tired of hearing the explanation of whatever it is that the sighted people are looking at. So that a blind person sitting in that situation is going to have the description. Matter of fact, I had one senator tell me today that it might be an advantage to have blind jurors on there, those of you who are lawyers, because then some lawyer who gets eager to psych up the jury by putting really ugly, vicious pictures of brutality on, up in front of the jury, blind folks wouldn't have a chance to see it and might keep cleaner minds, so I'm not sure. But there could be some situation that really would physically require vision. I can't think of one, but in that case, the lawyers would have the right to exclude that person from that specific situation. And the same with a deaf person. There could be a situation where you really ought to be able to hear beyond there. Maybe somebody has stolen somebody else's music and wanted two pieces of tape to be listened to.
Mr. Chairman, I would remind Senator Jones is from Ketchikan, and I know that there's the story of the time when George Grigsby of Ketchikan was asking the madam of a bordello where a murder had taken place about the room in which the murder had taken place. And he said, and now could you tell the jury how far it is from the doorway to the bed? And she said, oh, Mr. Grigsby, you know how far that is. that's a Ketchikan story. But I think there are. I think Senator makes an interesting point, and I personally resolve it in favor of Senate Bill 1. But I think I assume that in that kind of peculiar case, Senator, where you have a site visit of the jury and where that may become critical, the judge will simply grant the parties an additional challenge for cause or in some other way deal with that problem so that justice can be done, because we have to weigh the rights of the defendant or the plaintiff as well as the rights of the people who want to be on the jury. But I think that the system, the rules of court would accommodate that issue.
Any other questions for me?
No, I believe that's it. Now, what we can do, with permission of the committee, we're probably not going to be able to resolve this today. The people who are out of town, if you can do it in 2 minutes each, we can. But otherwise, if it's okay, otherwise we'll lose the quorum. I know I have to go to another meeting, but I'm willing a couple minutes to stay. So why don't we do that, allow another 5 minutes, and I know that's pushing it. Monday we'll continue with this, so that it doesn't drag on. So people who can make it back Monday, great. Those that can't, okay, just try to keep it brief. I better quit talking over here in 2 minutes.
My name's Tom Mercer, Director of Access Alaska. I have multiple sclerosis and am weakened in all quadrants of my body and utilize a service animal to pull my knee and my chair around. I'm a 3-time finisher of the Iditarod 73, 74, and 76. I have problems currently with having access to public buildings, in that when I get to a building, they say, I'm sorry, no dogs allowed. So therefore, I'm not allowed to take the dog and have him maneuver as he's quite capable of the G-Hall, wherever we want to go. And I want to speak in favor of the service dog aspect of this bill. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any questions? Okay, Dwayne, you're not going to be here, right?
No.
Okay, why don't you?
Okay, basically,
why don't you give your name again?
Dwayne French from Anchorage, and I'm just representing myself and the rest of the world. I would like to, first of all, ask a question of anyone who can answer it. The state does have legal and regulatory authority over the airways, don't they?
Over the airways?
Right. So, because I know you have highways and walkways, but not airways. And the reason I ask that is because a lot of people who experience a disability face discrimination in using airport facilities and riding on airlines.
If you're on airlines, you're talking about interstate commerce and federal regulation of the airlines. We did hear some grisly stories about people being denied access to airplanes who have handicaps.
Right, and I think that with the public facilities, you can probably, that can probably get around it. But with the Supreme Court decision last year, I was somewhat concerned and wished that airways would have been in there. But so that was just a question that I had. I would just overall like to say that, again, like Jim, I think there are some minor revisions that need to be made just to clean up the bill a little bit. But overall, I am very supportive of it and really appreciate the work that Senator Duncan and Senator Josephson have done to get the bill to the point where I know you're all going to pass.
Mr. Chairman, could I ask the people in the room, what is your present situation? Dwayne's testimony reminds me that last year we had a story about a fellow who wanted to go to Chicago and he couldn't get there unless he bought another ticket for someone to accompany him because he had a disability or handicap, and the airline said, well, we're not going to be responsible for you if you travel by yourself. Is that, if you get on the plane from Anchorage to come to Juneau by yourself as a person with a handicap, are you likely by Alaska Airlines to be turned back or told that you need a companion?
Can I speak to that? Because I was going to testify.
Oh, I see.
Before.
Okay.
And not by Alaska Airlines. We worked on them pretty hard, and we've educated them. But there are two others that we would be refused service. We would not be allowed to fly on the airlines without an attendant. And that is a major concern that I have. And on a national scale, they're dealing with that. But it's still a concern.
I might also add that my husband and I both experienced that problem the last year. In fact, my husband was a keynote speaker down south and went down, delivered the speech, and they denied him the right to fly back. You know, he's got a PhD, and he's traveled to quite a number of nations.
Go ahead. Jim, say your name first.
This is Jim Ombig again. I have been arrested by United Airlines for insisting that I have the right to have a white cane on an airplane in case of emergency. And let me tell you, now, I thought the bill where it says streets, highways, I thought planes were on there. Because the model civil rights law developed by the National Federation of Mine has it in there. And in one of those cases, we got the state attorney general in the state of Idaho to issue an order saying airlines who land here, you aren't going to land here anymore if you discriminate against blind people in this state. So that I thought planes were in that bill.
Okay, we're down to, we went over now, but...
I'm afraid I am a local individual who's going to be in Anchorage on Monday.
Yeah, we'll give you a minute.
All right, you got it. I'm Christy Hagmeyer. I'll just sit right here. I've been working with a number of wonderful people over the last few years to try and see this bill progress, and I think you can realize now that we've gone through all the misconceptions, all the misunderstandings, and we've brought together some pretty important groups of people to support this bill. Originally, we were at odds even within our own community. We've got tremendous support from the Human Rights Commission. The disability groups are there. And frankly, folks, you know, the hearing dog that started this bill has died of old age. I think it's time to get it on the books.
Hey, Bob, go ahead. You're going to be the last one.
On behalf of the Governor's Council for the Handicapped and Gifted, we support the legislation. We worked with it last year extensively in the hall, but probably beat on most of your doors to get you to support it. But the only confession that I have to make is that if this bill died last year in Senate rules, it was probably me who allowed it to die, because I would not accept writing the mentally disabled out of the legislation in the final waning hours of the session. I did not feel like that was an appropriate thing to do to a whole class of people. If the rights are put there, they need to be put there for all people.
Okay, then Monday we'll be addressing adding the amendment. I also want to probably, we'll get a fiscal note from the court system, make sure there's one here. And because the question did come up, we'll have somebody from law here to talk to us about how you disqualify somebody, you know. And you, I know Senator Joseph being an attorney knows, but in the event that, say, they can hear, what happens? Can the interpreter somehow be prevented from interjecting their own personal opinions on various things? But we'll do that. And Monday, this will be our first bill to take up. So,
what time do we meet on Monday?
3:30 to 5:30. With that, we're adjourned, and thank everybody for coming.
Thank you.